medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. In today's episode, we sit down with Don Sove, Chris Nowak, AJ Schifano, and Hyann Wong to talk about key takeaways from Blueprint 4D and what they like about attending and presenting at InFocus.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming today. Greatly appreciate you all coming on. So to kick things off, again, we've got now four guests on, so this will be new for us. We'll try to cover the topics. That's, you know, we kept it fairly narrow, I would say, given that we have so many folks that we're interested in hearing their thoughts and opinions on. But to make sure that our audience, because I learned a few episodes ago, we have to make sure we got full names and people know who one another are. So we're not going to assume that everybody knows who AJ Schifano is. So we're going to go around the horn, and if you could just give us a brief intro of who you are and what you do before we get into the questions, that'd be great. So let's start off with Chris.
Perfect. First one out of the gate. So I am Chris Nowak. I work for a company called Granite Construction. We are really have two headquartered locations. We operate a lot out in Watsonville, California. And then we also have an office down in the Woodlands, Texas. At Granite, I am the IT ERP applications manager. So I manage a team of business analysts and technical team or developers. And we run and maintain and enhance our JD Edwards system and support, you know, a lot of our bolt-on applications that we integrate with as well.
Excellent. How big is your team? How many developers? How many BAs?
Yeah, so CNCs don't report to me, which is a little bit odd compared to prior companies I've worked for. CNC's not on my team, but I have a team of nine as far as BAs, and then we do partner as well and have their team of business analysts and developers as well. So believe it or not, I only have one full-time employee on my team working on JD Edwards. The rest of my team are all contractors.
Very interesting.
All right. Thanks for the intro. Don, how about you?
Yeah, I'm Don Sove. I work at Wilbur Ellis. It's an agribusiness company. We have locations throughout the U.S., over 150 different locations. I've been with the company for about 3 years and a business analyst, part of a team of about seven of us. We support JD Edwards. We're on 9.2. We're on the older tools release, but we're hoping to upgrade, get up to 64-bit here soon. I've worked with JD Edwards for over 25 years. So I've got lots of experience with it, both on the development side and on the application and functional side, too.
Nice. Where were a couple of the companies? I mean, you've been with JD for 20 years, three with Wilbur Ellis. Any of the other companies you care to mention that you were with?
Yeah, the previous one was Wagstaff Engineering. Was there for about 35 years.
Wow. So, yeah. Congratulations.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've been with JD Edwards now for 25 and or 26 actually, and I thought that was good. 35. Wow. That's fantastic. All right. Let's go over to Hyann.
Hi, I'm Hyann Wong. I joined JD Edwards web runtime team at the turn of the century to actually implement a browser-based product. So I've been the tools developer, aka the dark side, for more than 24 years.
I love it.
So for the first half of my career, my responsibility was really to make sure all your applications run correctly on the web. And then with the release of 9.2, my role expanded to the entire digital platform. So I did work on pretty much everything inside the digital platform.
Orchestrator, everything, right? Orchestrator,
orchestrator,
what else would you do?
Notification, enterprise automation, workflow, and the entire extensibility framework.
Very nice. Thank you, Hayan.
Thank you.
For everything that you do. All right, AJ, let's go to you.
Hey, yeah, AJ Schifano, product manager on Qual's JD Edwards development team. I started with the JD Edwards team back in the 1900s. So, yeah, coming up on 27 years here in a couple of weeks. So, three or four careers within that capsule. Right? It started out with a documentation team and got put into product management. I was the platform guy for an entire Chinese Zodiac, 12 years of platforms. So, that was fun. But, yeah. Current role is product manager for the digital platform, and that includes Orchestrator and the extensibility framework, workflow. We're rotating into enterprise automation. So if you heard me, seen me speak before, all that stuff that I put on PowerPoint slides, that's the stuff that Hayan actually makes happen, Hayan and the team. So evidently, there's some real coding behind that. And we're kind of excited when that rolls out and people like Don and Chris put it to good use. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. What a great group of people to have on at the same time. This is pretty cool. This should be a fun conversation. Now, you say you're a couple weeks away from 27. So I joined in 97 as well, AJ. And I am, it might be today actually is my 27th anniversary. Yeah.
Events. Congratulations.
Work anniversary.
It's not like it's my 20th anniversary of my 29th birthday, like some, but we'll move on.
Thank you for acknowledging that. It is today. Yes.
Congratulations.
It's your birthday, too. Wow.
It is.
Jeez, good birthday.
What a big day for everybody.
Great way to celebrate with all. Awesome.
Should have brought a cake.
Hey, AJ, where are you at?
I missed it. Slacking.
Hey, that's awesome. All right. So our first question. Go ahead, Chandra.
Yes, I'd love to hear what was from each of you. What was one key takeaway from that you had from Blueprint? Let's start with Chris.
Man, first again.
I know, right?
So we've got a little dial and we're just spinning it. And I just
you can't see think. It. It's...
Typically, I'm not very lucky, so I'm feeling a little lucky today. Called first two times in a row. So, you know, something that I think was super fascinating, and I think this is communicated at every conference. But what really hit home to me after this conference is that JD Edwards is not dead, and it's not dying anytime soon. With the proof of the work that AJ and his team are doing and the digital, the AI digital assistants and the things that JD Edwards is showing us, I think that just speaks volumes that Oracle's continuing to invest. They're continuing to add functionality and that it's not going away anytime soon. And, you know, I do a couple of other attendees and there are so many that I think that leadership here, this 2035 date, and they just think that everything's going to go dark in 2035. And I don't think that's true. And I think, and what I'm planning to do and what I've done is I've submitted a presentation for InFocus to discuss this topic about how to convince your leadership that may not attend these conferences that, you know, JDE is still relevant. It's still here and it's going to stay.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Thank you. I mean, obviously from the product side of the house, we greatly appreciate when that message gets heard and the desire to want to amplify that message and continue to echo it, you know, wherever you can. That definitely was a theme. I will admit that, you know, it came out in the executive forums, it came out in some of our one-on-one discussions with customers that 2035 tends to get misinterpreted because people miss the rolling side of that. We say it every time. Like you said, we say it every conference. It's rolling. And it's been rolling now for 8 years, 9 years. But they miss the rolling side and they look at 2035 as like a warning. And it's like, no, it's not a warning. It's actually an assurance policy. It's literally a rolling 10-year commitment assuring you that J.D. Edwards will be there. So rather than looking at it like some of the other dates that maybe some of our competitors put out there, which are truly end dates and you have deadlines to get off certain platforms and migrate to certain other products, this is not that. This is an assurance policy and it rolls every year to let you know that J.D. Edwards is committed, you know, Oracle is committed to investing in J.D. Edwards and we will be there. But it's one thing for us to say it. It's another thing if, you know, other customers and other folks within the ecosystem, you know, echo it and stand by it too. So thank you very much for A, bringing that up, but B, being willing to submit that as a session at InFocus. That's fantastic.
Well, if it gets selected, I mean, I will need some help. So this is me throwing that carrot out there for somebody to pick it up. I won't be able to write it on my own. So
we will make sure the Quest staff that actually picks out or the advisors that help pick out those sessions listen to this episode.
Yes, exactly.
And I can't remember everything, but you know, at the risk of being irresponsible in that fact checking, I can't remember everything in 27 years. But wasn't our first statement of the rolling 10-year horizon last year? Like when we rolled it out, I thought it was 2023, right? It was 2013. We've already passed our first 10-year rolling horizon. So it's still rolling.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Just to put that into perspective, right?
Yeah.
We're already beyond the first time we announced it.
Right.
It's really at least. It's not up to, it's an at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is also on that slide that we always show. It's at least, and we put it in parentheses, mm-hmm. and we try to make it big. And
yeah.
I don't know what else we can do. We're gonna try colors. I don't know. We've tried, you know, spinning wheels, flashing. I mean, I've tried the like casino slot machine, ding, ding, you know, whatever. But then again, that implies gambling, which, you know, I don't necessarily, I mean, it's an insurance policy. You're not gambling on us getting there, please. So.
Interested in learning how other JDE customers are driving success in their organizations? Join one or more of the JD Edwards Special Interest Groups, or SIGs, for informal conversation and community.
Bring your questions, find answers, build your JDE network, share and prioritize product ideas, and help influence product roadmap. To sign up, visit questoraclecommunity.org/groups.
All right, well, Don, what's one thing that you took away from Blueprint 40 this year?
The one thing that just really impressed me was the Cafe One Media Object Viewer. That is something that is just fantastic. I love it. And it points out too that Oracle is listening to enhancement requests from the user community, you know, through the enhancement process. There's a shameless plug for the enhancement tool in the Quest site. But they really do listen. There's so many enhancements that are in there today because of what people have submitted over the years and people have voted for it. So really, get involved with the SIGs. Go ahead and, you know, write up your own enhancement requests and vote for ones out there. It does make a difference. So, and yeah, seeing that media object viewer, that's fantastic.
Don,
I wonder who wrote that though. I mean, I'm not familiar.
I don't know. I wonder who first tried to customize this so you can show the media object on a Cafe One layout.
Who did try that? I'm curious.
Granite definitely has that.
Ah.
I used to wait staff too. It was a
cut. Gotcha.
But seeing that in the tool set now, that's fantastic. Everybody can have it now.
So, Chris, I know you're trying to cut in here for one quick thing. One thing I'll say about what you just told me is And I want to reiterate to folks, I mean, one of the criteria when we look at what we're going to do, obviously, is leverage and stuff like that. How many people need it? How many people are going to benefit? Is the product going to be a better solution? But when we know where people have to customize and there's something that we can do that is going to affect, and we know a lot of people are doing it, right? In this particular case, you know, we had a lot of evidence that everybody was doing this. You know, that translates to a great opportunity because we know for a fact we're going to have an impact because people are already doing it. They need to do it. It's how they need to conduct business. So that's a great attribute to have behind one of those enhancements. Go ahead, Chris.
Now it's not going to be funny anymore, but I was going to say that if we would have had a soundboard, like you wouldn't have been able to hear Don over the applause because I would have just kept hitting the applause button as he was talking.
All right, so we have to do the, like, is that Mad Money, the Jim Cramer soundboard? We have to have the different, you know, buttons that we hit.
I think so. I think that's an enhancement you should consider making.
All right,
we'll place a ticket with Quest on that one. Yep. Had a request.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Hi-Ann, I hope you should feel very proud of what you did deliver there. I know you posted on LinkedIn. I saw it. I liked it. Others commented on it. And now, of course, you continue to get validation. So I don't know about you. Maybe we'll go to Hi-Ann next. But the validation that you can get from hearing customers use your product, champion your product, get benefit from your product. I mean, that's one of the greatest rewards that you get from going to these conferences and having these conversations. But what did you take away, Hi-Ann, from Blueprint this year?
You basically just said it. Oh, but seriously, my biggest takeaway was that I am so happy to see that we're adding value to the product. We're contributing to the entire community. Actually, a little story. Before we started the Blueprint 40, I actually was on the same table as Don. And then I was telling the whole group that, hey, I did this. And then I said, yeah, the reason that I thought about it was because several years ago, I attended, I think it was maybe in Focus, I attended a session. And then I watched someone having to go through the trouble to customize their system in order to show the media objects in the Cafe One layout. And that's the first time that it hit me that there is actually a need, because we developers, we are just implementing what's on the roadmap. We don't necessarily know what our users want. So that was the first time I had this idea. And then, of course, later on, I saw it in our backlog or the enhancement request. I'm like, that's definitely something that we can contribute. And I'm so happy, so proud that we were able to actually deliver this in Q2. And then I really appreciate Don, especially for bringing it out. That was not expected.
What are you saying? We look at those enhancement requests? Are you saying we actually open those up and look at those?
No, I guess, Meg, every 3 weeks, I think I have to attend that meeting with you to go through all the enhancement requests.
Cat's out of the bag on that one, AJ. Sorry.
Yeah, that we do regularly.
Very cool story. Thank you, Ian. All right, AJ, how about you?
So I guess it's a similar theme, you know, but at the risk of waxing too philosophical, going to events like this reminds me that what we do is not drudgery. Our customers, right? We manufacture things and build things, houses, and grow things, and agribusiness. And everybody who shows up is truly excited about what they do and proud of it. And then, you know, in juxtaposition to that, we build software and tools, hopefully to help you do that. And, you know, it's nice to see that the coding and the projects and the testing and the documentation and the whole product deliverables and the quick tours, that it's not all drudgery. Then we put it in the hands of our customers. And then you're just so excited to brag in these sessions about what they've done. And some of it is right along in our product strategy. And it's like, oh, they got the message. They did that. In other times, totally surprise us. It's like, we never thought in a million years that you could do that with Orchestrator, with a form extension, with logic extensions, right? You guys continually surprise us. So it's just so inspiring, and it just reminds us that what we do, both on the customer side, in the partner ecosystem, in our own development efforts, it's not drudgery. Dare I say, there's some joy in it. It's fun. And it's these conferences that bring that joy. Was that too mushy? Was that too philosophical?
No, not at all.
It was good.
No, if I could bottle all that up and bring that back to the team, like if I could bring the entire team to a Blueprint or to an InFocus to experience what we experience each year, I'd do it in a heartbeat because it is rewarding. It's good to get that validation, but that positive reinforcement that what you do actually matters and makes a difference. And there's never a shortage of ideas and discoveries that happen that week, right? Where you suddenly discover somebody doing something like AJ just said that you never anticipated. And it's so motivating. And, you know, to come back, you want to spread that to the rest of the team. And you know, I think that's our job, Hyann, AJ, is to come back and do just that to make sure that everybody on the team, because it's not just those that show up and present that obviously make this whole thing work. It's the entire team, and it wouldn't happen without them. So, and it's the ecosystem again. I mean, you've got customers with their input, you've got business partners extending what we do, echoing what we do, and filling in gaps where they can. And, you know, the innovation that happens between those two, and then all of us kind of working together, it's pretty fantastic. We're pretty lucky.
From a customer perspective, it's exciting to see you guys there as well and all that you've done. And we can see that passion. And I think that helps further fuel our passion and our drive to go back and, you know, whether it's advocate for the latest tools so that we can do something cool and fun that we saw, or whether it's just to encourage our leadership or maybe some of our users to attend these conferences as well to get them as excited about it as we are.
I'll tag on to that too. It's fantastic having all the Oracle people there, because if you do have a question about something, you know, having the source right there that you can talk to directly and get that feedback, that's fantastic. So please keep coming.
We absolutely will. Were you trying to say something there, AJ? I apologize.
I was just going to tell Don, yeah, nothing gives us more joy than to be able to be there and tell you no to your face.
but it's also good too, because if you have that bug, you know, that's really just driving you crazy, now I can literally just walk up to you and say, can you help us with this?
Where are you at with this?
Come on, open up the dev tool. Let's get to it right now.
let's just fix it while we're standing here. But in all seriousness, though, it is a really good thing, because we were struggling at Granite with a sporadic font issue where it was being caused by Adobe. Adobe, for whatever reason, would update, and it would cause like a Windings font on our E1 splash page. And at InFocus last year, I had a conversation with John Green about it. And he went in and they got our SR, and it took us time to work through it. But based on that conversation, Oracle was able to put out a POC for us. And now we have not had any more problems. So it is good that y'all are there. Maybe good and bad, but mostly good.
Again, we try to prioritize, try to do our best. We don't always appreciate the impact certain things are having. You know, in that particular case, the reason I was, you know, reacting the way I was is you had that problem. You shared it with John. I remember working specifically with Srihari on that. And, you know, the iterations that we've went through, it did take us some time to actually isolate where the, you know, what the actual root cause was and provide a POC to get around it. But it was only shortly after that that Chandra and I were actually talking about doing this podcast and getting prepared for, you know, some of these episodes. And one day she literally got the same complaint from her users. And she's like, you know, this is happening, but it's really sporadic and it just, you know, it's really weird. And I'm like, I know exactly what that is, and described it back. Here's the root cause. Here's how it's happening. Here's the SR, you know, here's, you know, next thing you know, boom, you know, because it did impact many other customers So I'm glad we were able to actually work through that. The network effect, right? The networking benefit that you get from these conferences in action right there.
So Paul, did you actually memorize the whole SRID and then just
No, not quite. But I did explain how it was overriding certain values as a result of people using their own version of Adobe to print. Anyway, we don't have to go into
that. Yeah, I remember specifics. Working through that issue. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Wow. What a great conversation so far about the key takeaways from Blueprint 40. We want to thank AJ, Hyann, Chris, and Don for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, we hope you will tune in next week when we continue our conversation and find out what they look forward to for both presenting and attending at In Focus.
But now, on to everyone's favorite part of the show, our Midwesternism. Today's Midwesternism is, well, we can call it an event. The meat raffle.
The meat raffle.
The meat raffle. Okay. Yeah. Normally, these events are held at charitable organizations, such as VFWs, although recently they've even expanded to high school sports booster clubs, partnering with local breweries. And I know in Minnesota, it's actually considered charitable gambling and is regulated.
So let me get this straight. Midwesternisms love to gamble. They love meat. And then you mentioned breweries and they love beer. So now we're combining meat, gambling, and breweries for meat raffles. And we're going to all do this in the spirit of a charitable event to raise money for high school sports. I'm guessing Minnesota's high school sports are some of the best funded in the country at this point.
It could be. Absolutely. But it's not only the high school. You know, the VFWs participate as well. There's other organizations too.
Absolutely brilliant. So exactly how do these work since I have not been to one before?
Oh, well, you definitely are going to have to attend one sometime. I think we should have like a Midwestern tour so we can expose you to so many of these wonderful events that happen in the Midwest. Okay. Basically, you purchase a ticket. That ticket will either have like a letter or maybe a number and a letter on it, or maybe it'll just have a number on it. And then generally, I'd say the tickets are about $1 a ticket. Then there's typically a wheel that's up by the desk. And somebody will spin that wheel and whatever letter number or letter number combination it lands on, well, that person wins a package of meat. It's amazing. And that meat could be bacon. It could be meat sticks. It could be summer sausage. It could be steaks. It could be pork chops. It could be burgers. It could be chicken, turkey.
Hey, who knows? What about like venison? I mean, come on. Everybody loves to hunt up there in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Well, I suppose it would have to be I assume it would need to be during season, of course, and assuming that wherever said meat is acquired through, whether it's a meat processing, you know, a local meat processor processes that meat, then if it's available and it's donated, then yes, I would assume so.
Awesome. I guess I feel the need to contribute and participate and help out local high schools and the VFW at this point.
I think you would really enjoy it. It's quite the cultural experience. I enjoy going usually every Monday, the local VFW that my uncle is involved in. A number of my aunts and uncles and cousins actually meet there. And we have, it's a meat raffle and it's fish fry, which I know is odd for a Monday. That's usually, on the Fridays during Lent. For Catholic believers, that's usually when a lot of the Midwest offers those fish fries. But this local VFW has theirs almost every Monday, the first Monday of every month, as a matter of fact. So it's quite fun.
All right. Well, as always, we learn something new every week. Even the co-host, in this case, learns something new every week. And meat raffles is now on my list. So thank you for sharing.
You are welcome, and I can't wait to bring you along someday
on a little tour of the Midwest where we can experience some of these. We could do some live podcast recording sessions from these and really bring people in along for quite the ride, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Sounds fun. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, keep laughing together, sharing together, learning together. We'll catch you next week. Toodles.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.